Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. We got a lot of power on the show tonight.
Yeah, mostly me.
Well, you, and then we have one of the best to do it in the WWE. Talking to Miss Eva Marie tonight, WWE Diva. She was also on that E fucking series, the Total Bellas.
I don't think they're allowed to call them divas anymore because that was offensive. Now they're superstars.
You're kidding, right? Yeah. She said she liked the term diva on the show.
Well, yeah.
We're good to go. I felt like at any moment she was going to come from the top ropes and just take us down.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a fucking dope ass powerful lady, dude.
She was super cool. Yeah, I liked her, and her husband were both cool people.
Yeah, we had a really great interview with them in Los Angeles, which we'll get to in a second. But first, we got some sponsors who pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, talking about GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Very best in the business as far as mattresses go. Let's face it, we might be spending a lot of time in them coming up here if everything gets shut down again. GhostBed is running specials for everybody right now, especially those who were affected. If you're a member of the military, if you're a first responder, if you're a teacher, if you work in the government, you get 30% off everything in the entire store. That is mattresses, sheets, pillows, adjustable bases, covers, you name it, you get 30% off. If you're a regular human like myself, you get 25% off. And for everybody, if you order a mattress, you get two free pillows, which is a $180 value. And I love those goddamn pillows. Those are the best in the business. Mm-hmm. And as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. So here's what you do. You take all of those deals that I mentioned before, and you apply them to that 36-month pay-as-you-go no interest program. And you were styling, dude, with a new mattress set for about $30.
I guess we could say, since we have a wrestling person on, that you would be styling and profiling.
There you go. Nailed it. Ric Flair said that, kids. Ric Flair. One of the best in the biz to ever do it.
He is the best. Come on.
So is ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 16 titles. You're not gonna find any arguments out of me on Ric Flair.
He's the best.
You know my love of Ric Flair. Next up, D'Anthony, we got KillCliffCBD.com. Big boys. One of my favorites, man. I have a can of it every single night. I've been missing it for 2 weeks because I didn't know where to ship it.
Yeah. We were in
L.A.
L.A. It's tough,
back in North Carolina today.
It's tough on them streets.
Tough, man. I got some at the house, thank Christ. So I'm going to go home and crack a can after today's show and really get loose on it. But I'm a gigantic fan of KillCliffCBD.com. That is the very best in the business. If you got aches or pains, especially in your joints, man, this is 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. There is no THC in this. You will not piss hot. And it'll take it away. Summer drink, man, has been the vodka and KillCliff CBD.
I've been doing that for a couple of years now, ever since they first came out with it.
No, big fan. There was an outdoor bar in Philadelphia. That's where they were making those. That's where you and I got introduced to. We got loose.
You're talking about at the Army-Navy game last year?
Yeah, man. That was fun. That was real fucking... Someone said we had too much fun, Dan.
No.
Go to KillCliffCBD.com today. With the promo code DRINKINBROS, you get 20% off a case and free shipping. That is a big deal. Look, I know KillCliff's been selling a fuck ton of these, man, and rightfully so. They're the best in the biz.
It is.
That are doing it. Go to KillCliffCBD.com. Promo code DRINKINBROS gets you 20% off and free shipping. Next up, D'Anthony, we got GetRoman.com/drinkingbros. You know I can't say that slogan without saying, get your boner on.
Yeah, boners are important.
They really
are. They're the reason we're all here.
All boner lives matter.
Yeah.
Nobody's been saying that, but they should, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you can...
White boners, black boners, Asian boners, they all matter.
Doesn't matter.
Nope,
yeah.
They all matter.
As long as there's cum coming out of them.
Yeah, there's all... Yep. Well, you know, some say you don't even need that.
To get pregnant?
The ladies... maybe the ladies aren't looking to have a baby during COVID, you know? Looks uncomfortable.
I feel like this is the perfect time to have a kid.
Could be.
You get to stay at home with it the whole time.
It's true. It's true.
Carson, get a if you're out there thinking about getting pregnant,
yeah,
call me.
Call me. Call Dan.
He's... I'll hook you up with some. I'm not getting you pregnant.
Well, if the money's right, you will.
Well, yeah, I'll surrogate for you. But yeah. By surrogate, I just mean cream pie you. I mean, come on. That's what it means.
And if you're looking to cream pie a loved one out there or just a stranger, go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros today. Free doctor visit online. You don't have to visit your doctor. And look, it doesn't really matter if you have erectile dysfunction. You just want to take these to fucking party.
I've been going to the doctor, but after I take the pills.
Yes.
Just to show off. Like, hey, I didn't have to come here for this.
Yeah.
Look at this dick. I show up hard as fuck to the doctor's office. And they're like, we've never heard of you before.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
And then you say, well, what's up now, bitch? And then you leave.
Yeah. And I do either the dirty bird dance or the Deion Sanders end zone dance. It's one of the two, typically.
One of the two. Yeah.
Without a ball, the Deion Sanders dance looks weird.
Looks weird. We got two of them.
Yeah.
Go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros today. And get your boner on, dude. Free shipping with that. It comes within 48 hours and a free doctor visit. Last but not least, Anthony, who we got?
Manscaped.
Yeah, manscaped.com.
Your balls will thank you. That's what their tagline is.
Yep. And let's face it, if you got a boner out there and you've gone to the great lengths, nailed it, to take a pill, might as well shave down and give yourself an extra inch and a half down there.
Yeah, it's all about perspective.
It is. It is.
And if you've got a dick HOA like I do.
Yeah.
Then you have to keep that lawn clipped.
Clipped at a certain length.
Yeah.
The Lawnmower 3.0 is their razor. It's the best.
It's summertime. You got to stay shorn right now, especially.
You really do, man.
Ass-eating season is definitely over, obviously, but you still got to keep that dick tight. You know what I'm saying?
We never really discussed whether or not COVID had any kind of effect on ass-eating season, but we'll skip it. We'll talk about it on another show.
Well, look, I feel like once the protest started, that's when it went out the window. It was it's just too hot.
Here's what I think Manscaped should do. Ass. I think Manscaped should make YouTube tutorials on how to use the product, but like how to shave different patterns into your pubes.
I like that a lot. You know what I mean?
Like BLM or something.
Or like Vanilla Ice. I want that old school Vanilla Ice on the side. You know?
How big of a flex would that be if you shaved BLM into your fucking pubes and then just walked around at protests and people were like, why aren't you protesting? Like, oh, I'm good, man. I've got my pubes.
Yeah, I got my pubes.
What do you think?
BLM, yeah. I like it a lot.
That's what LeBron James is doing. Instead of putting the name on the back of his jersey, he's just shaving BLM into his pubes.
Into his pubes.
Yeah, he would do it on his head, but he can't grow hair there.
No,
so.
No.
What are you going to do?
He should be fine.
I think he'll be all right, yeah.
Go to manscaped.com. Get yourself a kit. The kit's the fucking jam right now. That's all you need. And you're good to go. You get some ball deodorant in there. Mm. It's just the best, man. Every single dude should have one of these in their bathroom without fail, man. Go to manscaped.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Get you, what, 20% off there?
Yep. And the two free gifts. The shed travel bag and a pair of boxer briefs.
Very best in the business. Go to manscaped.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. 20% off. I know you see them in the ring for all the UFC events. They're huge. We are lucky that they are doing the show. And then speaking of fighters, we got one of the best in the business, WWE-wise. Eva Marie is on. Let's get into it, Giorgio. Keep it down back there, she said. We're going to start the show with that. She's making demands. We have a former professional wrestler on the show. Welcome to Drinking Bros Podcast. You have a three-name fucking moniker. We just talked about how most killers have three names.
Yeah.
Oh, I like
it's
that.
It's a serial killer thing. Anytime you hear about a serial, it's like James Earl Ray or fucking whatever the fuck, right?
Damn.
Tell the audience names. Your name and look in the camera. That way, in case you do murder someone, they have all three names and it's you're announcing it to the world.
And technically, I have different disguises because I changed my hair color.
I didn't recognize you. Mood. You showed up with pink. I was expecting purple today.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. I am Natalie Eva Marie, and now you know.
There it is. So if she murders somebody out in the streets, those are the three names.
Yes.
And that's going to be her calling card for the murder. She's going to leave a card that says, and now you know, on their body. And that's how they're eventually going to put the fucking case together. You just fucked yourself over right
there. Yeah, you did.
Maybe.
It's fine, though.
Goddamn right you did. You look like a serial killer.
A little bit, yeah.
You've got those crazy look in your eyes.
Dead eyes, yeah.
Yeah.
Like come on now. Eyes. Come on.
Real dead
These
eyes.
These eyes got my husband, so apparently it worked, though.
You think it was the eyes, huh?
You think it was the eyes? He's back there. We can just ask him.
You can ask him. Hey, what was it?
What was it? Was it the eyes?
Personality.
Wow. I can't believe he just said
for
that.
For liar of the year, we have her husband.
Totally. Totally.
You met her on Instagram. All right, so let's unpack that. Did he slide into your DMs? How did that work?
Actually, it was back in the when you couldn't DMs weren't even existing at the time.
Okay.
So it was a comment.
Oh, it was
under
a
photo.
All right. Does he have a blue check mark or was it just a stranger's comment?
It was a stranger's comment because
what was the comment?
The blue check marks weren't even going around yet.
Okay.
It was pre-WWE.
Gotcha.
It was literally right before my WWE tryout. So all of a sudden, I see this comment because I think I had like 1,000 followers. So I was very much could see every like, every comment.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The deal. So I saw this comment and it was, of course, not under like a thirst trap photo. It was under a kind of a church God photo, right? So I'm like, who is this dude? He really wanted me to like notice, recognize.
Were you
him.
In a pew with a hand on the Bible? Like,
no, it was a book. It was like the five love languages or something.
Okay.
Right? Something, whatever. So I see it. I tell my girlfriend, I'm like, oh, who is this? Click on the profile. And I was like, all right. He looked shredded, out of control, super into fitness. Very much I saw just a glistening kind of perfect male physique.
Sure.
And I'm like, who is this dude? And I saw that he lived in Orange County. I finished school in Orange County. I'm like, let me go ahead and comment on one of his photos. Sure enough, made the comment. All of a sudden, chit-chatted back and forth through comments and then gave him my email. And I mean, he'll tell the story differently, but that's how it went down.
Well, here's why I ask, because we have a huge male demographic. I think 92% of our listeners are male.
They just learned the lesson. Skip the bikini photos, guys.
Yes.
Go to the ones where she's in church and say, oh, some this make even if you don't believe in God, say it. Who cares?
Yeah, just say
say whatever Jesus you got to say, brother. Do what you got to do in life to get by.
There you go. Well, now we have DMs, so... I mean,
yeah, but know that it's possible. One comment could change your life. You could get married, and you could marry a superstar like yourself just from one comment. What was the comment?
Yeah, what was the comment?
Come honestly, on. I do not. Do you remember?
No. Was it something like, hey. Oh, was I love that book? I didn't know if it was like,
no, wait. He added to it. He said, said I love that book, referring to the five love languages, and then his follow-up was, oh shit, I've got to read that book now.
Yeah.
So I just want to let you know that your relationship is based on a lie, but it was with good intentions. And he made up for it in the back end, so it's fine.
But I'm sitting here almost 8 years later.
Yeah, there we go.
And we got married. And we got married in, I think he proposed in like 3 months.
Wow. So that's the other lesson, guys.
I went through my WWE tryout when I told him. I was like, just so you know, I'm about to embark on a journey. I have a 4-week in-ring tryout to become, at the time they called us divas, become the next WWE diva. And he looked at me like, wait, like, first of all, why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
And secondly, yeah, right. Like, good for you type thing. And I just let him know right off the bat that if I do get it, you're not going to hold me back because I want it that much.
Sure.
And so he was like, yeah, sure. And he was serious.
I mean, what are the chances, though? Because I've seen the reality show, obviously.
Okay.
And you look at how many hundreds and hundreds of people dream of becoming a professional wrestler, and you go through that process. Either something is wrong with their technique or their personality.
Right.
It is hard to do it. Like, we'll share a behind-the-scenes story that I heard.
Please.
Because I'm a Hollywood guy. We heard that Freddie Prinze Jr. was hired to go in and coach some of these wrestlers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were one of them.
No.
But he was in there with John Cena specifically.
Okay.
They got into a beef where Freddie Prinze Jr., I guess John Cena had walked away and he said, I'm not teaching these guys anything about personality. Fuck these guys. You either have it or you don't have it.
Okay.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was like, hey, man, I was hired to come in here and do this shit. So therefore, I'm going to coach these guys and help them become what they possibly want to become.
Totally.
Whether or not it happens or not. Was that the case with you when you got in there? What was the criteria for it as far as personality versus skill and what they were flexible on and willing to work with?
Sure. First of all, I love a good BTS story because that's some little chismosa right there that I didn't know that.
I'm not a big John Cena fan, so I don't give a fuck about throwing him.
Well, I mean, it's hard to be a fan of a guy you can't even see, right? Like, how does that even fucking work?
Nice.
I have a poster of him.
We should end the podcast on that. We're all done. That's as good as it gets for this show.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Honestly, I think it's very different for each case. So, like, mine is definitely super rare. Probably will never happen again because they don't do the diva searches anymore. Mm-hmm. Because the wrestling world, I feel like, has gotten quite large in the sense of just kind of coming back from, like, WWF days. And now with social media and things like that, that you could promote yourself. As before, it was really, really hard to even get into the door and get a tryout. That's why the independent circuit was, like, really the only place that you could go and learn the craft and then hope to kind of crawl and dig your way into the tryout kind of deal. So for me, honestly, it was crazy. It was an open audition. So it was one of those
things. You said it's 4 weeks, right?
It was my audition process was quite long, but they ended it with the 4-week in-ring physicality.
Right.
So, you know, I just showed up to an audition at the time. Like, after I finished college, I just moved to LA and was kind of dabbling into modeling, acting. And I wanted to see, you know, what is this all about? Totally not using my business degree that I got. And my parents being like, when are you going to get a real job? You know, and I'm like, not yet.
When are we going to get a real job?
Yeah, yeah. Jesus.
Never. Never getting a fucking real job.
So I kind of was doing the audition thing. And then WWE came up and I was like, yeah, sure. Go there. It was hundreds of girls.
Yeah.
And then it started to kind of come back to me. I have 3 older brothers, so I'm the youngest of all boys. And I was like, oh, snap. This is like WWF back in the day, Hulk Hogan. This is the deal.
Yeah.
So then as I'm like standing there waiting for my turn, I'm just kind of like thinking like, damn, if I actually get this, this has everything that I want to do infused into like one spot. So I want to act. Mm-hmm. I want to perform. I was missing that competitiveness from sports because I played soccer through college. So I was missing that just kind of discipline and the competitive drive that you constantly have to go out there and compete. And then obviously you get to travel the world and perform live.
Right.
So the audition process was kind of crazy and kind of long. Callback, and then finally the in-ring physicality tryout. And so I've never wrestled in my life before. I'm a field athlete, so I like to keep my feet on the ground. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, wrestlers are savages. I mean, you have to be...
It's like extreme tumbling.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's that's a lot of aerial shit.
Yes, well, that's why a lot of times girls that have previous, like, gymnastics, cheer...
You got to be better, right?
Anything like that, they pick it up really a lot easier than, say, someone like myself, where dance and gymnastics was nothing in my even realm that I could possibly do. My flexibility is quite zero, none. Mm-hmm. So my first day of the tryout, I was obsessed because I was loving the fact that I had to push myself to even learn this, and I wanted it. But it also was crazy because even on the first day, three girls immediately quit, didn't even step in the ring at all because they're like, wait, you want us to do what? No.
Done. Yeah.
So that was kind of how that all started. And then 4 weeks later, if you made it, you got a developmental contract. And all that meant was you pick up your life wherever you were living at the time, move out to, at the time it was in Tampa, that was their training facility.
Yeah.
They've now moved to Orlando and it's called NXT. And then you hope, work on the craft and your character, and then hope that you get called up to the big show, which is Monday Night Raw, SmackDown.
Right.
So when it comes to your question of Freddie Prinze, like character or skill, for me, I really think obviously, because I didn't have the skill or previous, it was all about personality and character, and maybe she can like
develop it and develop the something. Skill and grow over time. Yeah, because mm-hmm. you have the physicality for it. You're tall. You look like you're in great shape now. I didn't know what you look like. You were
so you're
back
trying to say
then.
My husband laughs at it all the time. Like I'm you know, built like a
yeah. Like a what? You could wreck somebody. You look like
Brick
you could wreck somebody. Yeah.
That's the phrase that everybody
Brick
uses.
Brick shithouse. Yeah. You look like you could wreck somebody. And the reason I bring that up is the Miz. I always go back to the Miz.
Yeah.
I remember when he was on The Real World.
Yep.
His dream was always, I want to become a professional wrestler.
Yep.
He had the physique for it.
Yes.
But then you have to go to the school and develop the personality and all that other stuff. And it took him years.
Yeah.
And he ended up doing it and becoming obviously who he is today. But mm-hmm. That was a guy who had a dream in the real world.
Yeah.
You're never guaranteed a shot at any of this stuff, and you don't know if you're going to make it, and it's very reminiscent of the minor league system for baseball.
Totally. That's how I always refer to it, as AAA going up into the big leagues,
because
that's exactly what it is. And it's one of those things where my story is so, so different, because a lot of times I was literally from the reality show was happening or getting built at the same time as my tryout. And it was one of those things where it was like right time, right place. And they had me, after I got the developmental contract, to go and just learn to wrestle, create a character, do that whole deal. Because I lived in LA at the time, they called me and said, hey, will you go into this meeting, audition? We can't tell you what it is, but since you're out there, will you do it? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. So I go in, it's at Buena Murray Productions, and I sit in there for like 3 hours and just get kind of grilled of just a million questions, like, who are you, your background, all that stuff. And then finally...
Did Buena Murray produce the reality show?
Yeah.
Gotcha. They're massive, by the way.
Huge.
For those who don't know, they actually did, they did The Real World and did all of that stuff.
Which is even crazier.
Correct.
The same producer actually had worked with Miz... Mm-hmm. Back
on The Real World,
So after I do that, you know, I get told if you do get this job, it's moving actually really, it's time sensitive, it's moving extremely fast.
Right.
So your life could change within, you know, 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, sure, you know. And lo and behold, 48 hours later, I was in the Bay Area visiting my parents because I my then boyfriend, now husband, I just have that feeling. I've only had it like twice in my life. That was one where you walk out of a room and you're like, yo, I fucking nailed that. Yeah. Like, shit's about to pop.
Yeah.
So I call him. I was like, yo, I think shit's going to get crazy real soon. We go up to my parents because he wanted to ask my dad for my hand in marriage. It gets crazy. You guys, my story, me and Jonathan especially, because it was at the same time, is crazy. Like, we are insane. So hop in the car, drive up to the bay, 7 hours. I'm there for like 24. I get a call saying, hey, this is WWE. You got the job. Get ready. Oh, they asked about my hair color too, because at the time I was black. They said something, blonde. They wanted me to go blonde, but I was so in a daze because this was like a life-changing moment.
Yeah.
A career, like, that I wanted. I wanted to step in, and now this is like, wait, what? Like, this is even getting bigger and better. And you're going to be on a plane to New York for WrestleMania. And my first day on the job, by the way, is WrestleMania week, which is insane. That's like you're going to the World Series, if you're referring it to
You
baseball.
Probably would have shaved your head if they'd asked you.
But yeah, I would. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't even have mattered. So the color thing was like totally over my head. And so I walk inside, super awesome moment, got to share with my family and my parents. The next day, we're getting ready to leave to go back to LA so I can get my life together semi. Jonathan asked my dad for my hand in marriage. So,
smart man.
Yeah.
Smart man back there. She gets on WWE. You got to ask for that hand real quick, brother.
Did he get a dowry of any sort? How does that work now? I don't know.
I know. I am Mexican Italian, so you think he would get something.
You got to get something.
My wife pretended to be Mexican for 35 years. She did. Which is a fun
thing. Her mother lied to her about being Mexican.
Stop it.
Yes.
And she learned Spanish and went.
She
like,
didn't know until her mom
put the kids in Spanish immersion schools and stuff. Oh,
she didn't
God.
Know until she got a 23andMe that she had no Mexican heritage.
But she learned Spanish.
She's back there now. She didn't bother with that, but she's a big fan of Taco Bell, as am I.
Okay.
Well, which is what joined our relationship
gotcha.
Together. So
that's
yeah.
what my husband is too. Oh my goodness, that is so wild. Another 23andMe story that totally just like shambles somebody thinking that there's something and then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, no, you're not at all.
Yeah. Wow. Anybody who's got a 23andMe, usually they owned a slave or they're another heritage that they pretended not
My
to
buddy
be for
found
a long
out
time.
He was gay on 23andMe.
Yeah. Weird, yeah. man.
And now he's been dating dudes for 6 years. He's happy, I guess.
So he's happy.
Hey, at least he found out.
He knows who he is.
Yeah.
He knows who he is now, which is the most important thing.
Exactly.
So obviously you said yes.
Yes.
Yes to the dress.
Yes.
And then you're on a plane. You go to WrestleMania.
Yep.
And what happens when you get there? Do you get a script? How does that work?
No.
Do they say, hey, you're going to win or lose this match?
No.
What is it behind the scenes?
So, because everything was so brand new in the sense of this reality show too, like the first season filming it, everybody thought that it was going to not do well and kind of looked at it like a mockery and kind of a joke. A lot of the wrestlers that were backstage too, so they didn't want to be on it. They wanted nothing to be associated whatsoever. And then you have to think too, is as soon as I am coming up on the scene, you have a lot of old school guys there that immediately are like, who's this new chick? And she's never wrestled before. And she's coming in from a diva search. Like, you know, so I had to grow a tough skin real quick and also not let that really bother me. You know, like I said before, I have three older brothers, so I have no problem with someone talking shit to me. That's totally fine. And I come from a sports background in general. So if you are somebody that gets an opportunity, if the door opens, you better sprint through that bad boy because you never know when that opportunity is going to come again. But when you get in there, bust your ass.
Sure.
Show that you want to be there and show that you appreciate whatever it is that is going on within that organization.
I feel like that's something that's missing with the young folk these days. The sense of entitlement. Like, you have to fucking earn your spot.
Totally.
Like, when you're like, for what I did, every single day you got to earn your fucking spot on that team. Otherwise, we'll get rid of you because it's life and death at that point, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But I feel like that translates into everything. Like, you see that in sports as well all the time.
Totally.
Like, in the four major sports, and there's any athletic competition, you either earn your fucking spot or you get the fuck out. That's not a bad thing. It's not oppressive. It's the fucking rules, bitch.
Right.
Well, not only that, and you're replaceable.
Yeah.
So don't get it twisted.
Everyone's replaceable. Every single person.
If
the Lakers can trade Shaq.
Yeah.
You're fucked, bro.
Yeah.
You're done.
You know what
we'll
I mean?
Get rid of you right now.
Exactly. So it's like, I couldn't agree more. Well, Jonathan and I talk about it all the time, like the younger generation. That's why we do not have kids. Actually, the last post he made is with my nephew. He's 2 years old, and I'm holding like a blowtorch and giving him a sparkler. So that's where I'm at.
Mother of the year.
100%. So Yeah, I agree that, you know, once you go through something, if you get the job, get the opportunity, whatever, but then you got to put in the work, because you can only last for so long before, one, you're either going to get booted out, or two, your life is going to be miserable because everybody else that is there that have put in the work, paved the way, done whatever, is going to just like not respect you and not like you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two different ways you can take it. You know, some people were irritated because I came into the scene so quickly and didn't do the like independent circuit or pay my dues in that sense, but I had full control over how they eventually turned when they saw me day in and day out within right. the company, you know? And that was obviously hard too, because it was right at the beginning of like the craze of Instagram and social media too. So I was like trying to navigate that, trying to also create a character and also be on the show and then get the ropes of traveling, because not only, and they never ever like share this as much, yes, wrestling is professional athletes, right? Mm-hmm. There are studs because they do not travel like the NFL or the NBA. You're flying into a certain town, obviously not now, but you're flying into a certain town, you're getting in your rental car, then mm-hmm. you go to that arena, you perform that show, then at it ends around 11 p.m., then you get all your stuff, drive to a hotel
right.
that you pay for, and then...
Oh, they make you pay for it.
You pay for your cars and hotels.
So are you under contract and they give you a certain amount a year and then all your expenses are on you?
Yes, because we're independent contractors.
Ah, no shit.
Wow.
So there's no union for any of that?
How is there no professional wrestling union?
Yeah, what if you get all fucked up?
I don't know.
Like, how is there no pension?
Well, you have to have your own insurance, unless you get injured in the ring.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How's
Holy
no,
shit! Like, I did not know that.
How's there no pension for these men and women who have made literally billions of dollars for
off of you guys, and they're expecting you to cover your own insurance, Oof. Your own expenses? So, like hotels, mm-hmm. are you paying for hotels yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit!
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, this opens up a huge fucking basket of questions for me. Do you go in there and say, all right, I want the mid-size SUV, like the RAV4, because you're worried about costs?
So usually it's just, it's based upon, obviously everybody's contract is going to be different as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of talent is going to be different than other talents, right? So it's just like any other contract that is out there. So you have your top 2% that is going to be traveling differently, and then you're going to have your brand new guys that are going to be traveling differently as well. So a lot of times you end up sharing. So like you room with other divas or superstars, and then you also share your car. So it turns into a real super tight-knit family, because
gotcha.
You're not traveling anymore because by yourself, because mm-hmm. obviously one, safety, and then two, cost. So then you're able to split the SUV or split the car, and then you're also sharing your room with other superstars as well. So then it makes it way less cheaper, you know?
Gotcha.
So that's kind of how you...
Did your husband travel with you for most of this stuff?
So you know what? He actually did not at the beginning because he was still working. He's a huge nerd. So when I met him, he was working at Blizzard Entertainment, the guys that make like World of Warcraft.
Video game?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Blizzard, yeah.
No
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. Just for everybody that is out there, we have you know, the guy that's making us look and sound fabulous going ham over World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
So that means that he enjoys gaming as well. So
does he even pay attention, or is he playing fucking video games?
Oh, no.
Time?
During this whole entire COVID situation, it was like game time for him, because all of a sudden he had stopped playing for quite some time, because now he runs like our businesses mm-hmm. because he's smart. He has a master's degree, and that's why I married him. So any ladies that are listening, or fellas too.
So personality, smart. Master's
degree. I'm the face that, yeah. I'm the face that Got runs it. The place, baby. And he just makes sure that, you know, we don't go broke and finances are going where they're supposed to be going. But so he was working at Blizzard Entertainment and I was on the road.
Yeah.
But because he's so into health and fitness, he was able to end up getting a supplement endorsement.
Okay.
And, it paid him more than Blizzard, which was amazing. So he was able to step away from Blizzard, do that, full time, but then also it gave him the freedom to come and on the road not all the time, mm-hmm. but often because he was also on Total Divas. So then it was coming out there, he was filming with me. So because obviously I wanted to be as, reality shows are crazy, but I wanted to be as like real and authentic when it came to like my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously including my fiance, husband, and then my actual real family was important to me. So he was able to do that because working at Blizzard, he'd have to use his sick days, and those sick days were used up real quick.
Yeah, he's the only ripped gamer I've ever seen. He's an anomaly.
He does fucking crunches in between rounds.
You have to. You have to. Getting killed.
Yeah.
Dumb question is, do you get paid as a cast member on the reality show, or does the WWE get that money as well? Is that part of your contract?
No, it's got to be at least scale, right, if they're producing it here.
One would think.
That's a really good question. Definitely not a dumb question, but we're third party, so WWE will get the check, and then we'll get paid from WWE.
Shit. What's their percent, just out of curiosity?
That I don't
know. It's
probably 30. That I don't know. Actually, that I don't know.
My agent takes 10%, right?
I would
assume. Standard Hollywood shit. Like,
but WWE, there's no union. They're like an added company. They're taking 30%, my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because obviously I'm not. I was so freaking happy to be on, not only in WWE, but then on a reality show too, that I didn't care. I could have done it for free.
But
it didn't matter.
The money's good, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you were happy with everything?
I was a bottle service girl. So I was like, dude, come on. Like, waitress, service industry. Like, I've been waiting for this break my entire time that I had finished school. So the fact that it's here, I'm not going to mess it up over like, some money.
That's cool.
You know?
Where were you a bottle service at?
Playhouse.
Okay. There was a guy we were talking about with Kirill yesterday named Larry the Table Guy. Did you ever have him?
Damn, it was so long ago,
the
you
best
guys?
Name of very, all time. And when he said it, it stuck in my head
for
I feel
for like I would have, if he was a very rich guy, I would feel like I should remember somebody.
He's
like,
a very rich white dude that likes to buy out all the tables occasionally.
Larry the
so
Table
they
Guy.
Calling him Larry the yeah. Table Guy.
Wow.
It was the greatest name of all time. And I
yeah,
was
that's
like,
amazing.
If he was that famous, I was like, I'll ask around
yeah.
and we'll find out. You would have known him.
I would have.
If you were a Playhouse, you would have
sure.
known him, yeah.
God, it doesn't ring a bell.
No, you would definitely know
that. Yeah. So long ago.
So what happened in WrestleMania, by the way? So you get to
yeah.
WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. So you get to WrestleMania, and it's a full week. So not only is it my first, and it's, there's so much going on because you have like fan access that's going on. So that's where you get to, superstars get to interact with the fans. Then you have just constant either photographs that need to be taken, signing that has to happen, or media interviews, you name it. And so it's a really, really crazy week that's going on, but it's like the funnest because it's such a huge,
it's a big deal. It's the Super Bowl.
You work all year for this. Exactly. So and mind you, it's like literally the first time that I'm meeting any of the other cast members or superstars, and it was overwhelming but so cool. And I really think that I appreciated it so much because I've been through so much bullshit before mm-hmm. I got there that I was ready to, it didn't matter. If you wanted me to work 20 hours, I'll work 20 hours.
Right.
If you want me to do a fuck jig, I'll dance and be, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
so happy to be there that I was like ready to do whatever. And that's where the whole red hair situation kind of came up too, because at the time, now obviously the roster is quite different, but at the time, everybody only had your normal hair colors, which is just, you know, black, brown, blonde.
Right.
Mostly blonde.
Mostly blonde, but then when I got there, all the blondes actually had just retired. Mm. So they were lacking blondes, which is why I got told you need to dye your hair platinum blonde.
Yeah.
And for people that think this is some kind of sexist thing, it's just marketing. It's
totally.
Marketing. It's all marketing.
It's all
yeah.
it is.
Completely.
Because it makes you more easily identifiable.
Not only that,
some people like blondes, some people like fucking brunettes.
No,
that's
for
just
sure.
how it
yeah.
is, dude.
And you have to think why I love WWE so much is because you are creating a character. Mm. You are, and hair color comes with your character.
Right.
So it's like, it's super important. Like, that's why it's not a sexist thing. It's not a, like, it's literally trying to also stand out and make yourself like,
you're peacocking, baby.
Yeah.
Totally.
Showbiz, baby.
Showbiz, baby. So I get told that they wanted me to go platinum blonde, but I'm, like I said, Mexican Italian. I've been blonde in high school. My mom's a hairdresser, so I dabbled in hair color. Oh my God, looking at photos from when I tried to do my hair myself, not a good look. So I was totally not comfortable going blonde because I was like, one, the upkeep, my hair's gonna fall out, bleaching it.
Yeah.
Because I have jet black natural curly hair. It's like insane. So I'm sitting in the chair, the colorist is, and I'm in New York, in this like fancy smanty like salon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how the fuck am I even in this spot, you know? In New York during WrestleMania, like, so pumped. But then I'm like sitting in the chair as she's taking this like color, I don't know what it's called, but it basically strips out even previous color.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I'm seeing like my hair kind of turn this like orangey color, and I'm like, there's no way that I can go blonde. Like, it can't happen. So I was listening to Rihanna's album Loud at the time.
Yeah.
On the cover, she had insane bright red hair.
Yep.
And I was like, take me Rihanna red, let's do red. So I went against the grain, and which I highly suggest not doing.
Yeah.
But it just worked out for me at that time. But I will not do that again. I went red. It was a huge deal because I got told not to go red. And then I show up, go back to the hotel where everybody's at. Obviously, the other superstars, the girls were like, you're an idiot. You're about to get fired. Very bad decision. Bad choice. But
Who does that decision come down from? Is it Vince McMahon?
You know what? I want to say it's all the top dogs. Mm-hmm. All the top either writers or creative guys that are making decisions.
Okay.
That's where it comes in, because those are the guys that are having to put the show together and like write in the characters. And they have to go, you have to think of a character not just for a one-off show. It's like a six-month run or, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, you guys do, like, for people who are on the full tour, it's like 220-something
days. That's why it's like
that.
Dude, superstars, like, don't get enough credit. They're gangsters.
Two-thirds of the goddamn year.
It's brutal,
295 days out of the year, you're on the road.
Yeah.
You're performing live. You're not doing always Monday Night Raws. You're doing a lot of live events, which is like a lot smaller venues, smaller crowds.
You have to maintain continuity of your fucking storyline that whole goddamn time.
Yeah.
It's like being on a soap opera, but it's like fucking, people are actually watching it.
But it's all your, it's your life.
It's your life.
Yeah.
But being a, at the time, diva, so now superstar. So being a WWE superstar, and this is when I got called into the,
What's wrong with the word diva, by the way?
Honestly, to me, I have nothing wrong with diva. I like being called a diva. I think it's like super bomb, and I don't see anything
it's
negative.
Like the word diva implies that you're a woman, which implies that they're sexualizing you for marketing purposes, which is what every human being has done with males or females since the beginning of goddamn marketing.
Yeah, and the other part about it is the show has become so famous. By saying you were a diva means you were on that show and you're part of that organization.
I mean,
and everything that comes with it.
It was good branding the whole time.
Yeah. To me, it's a positive thing.
I hate this bullshit.
I know. Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Like, you can call a woman a queen but not a diva, right?
I guess.
You can call her a queen if she's fucking dressed.
I feel like Beyonce is taking over queen and we're
she has queen bee.
Yeah. Queens quite a bit, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And, like, I think people use diva, too. Like, people use diva as, like, oh, you're such a diva, as in, like, a negative. Mm. When I don't really refer to it at all as a negative, because when I got called in after I did the red hair, I got called into the office being, like, what are you thinking and what are you doing? I said, because when becoming and creating my character and being a WWE diva, you have to embody just feeling the most confident, feeling super empowered, and being able to project that into the audience so that they can feel that. And that's why I went red and not blonde.
Absolutely,
because I knew for me, I would not be able to exude that coming out because I would be feeling insecure about
it. Well, acting is a lie. And the greatest lies are rooted in truth.
100%. Right?
That's why that's why actors go crazy, because they try to get really close to that edge of trying to figure out, like, empathetically, trying to figure out how this person who really struggled feels, And then all of a sudden you see them have a breakdown in public. Like, of course they fucking did.
Yeah.
They've been living in their mind as this person that struggled their entire lives for the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fucked now. But anyways, back to your situation.
No, yeah, for sure.
What did they say? You showed up with red hair. Were they like, fuck you? Or
a little bit. That's why when I got called into the office and stuff. And then when I told them the reasoning was why I went red and not blonde, they totally were like, oh, okay. Like, we're with that. If you are feeling that, because that is the definition of, at the time, what a WWE diva was, you know? And so they appreciated that, and they were like, all right, cool. And they let me obviously stay, and I kept my job, and then All Red Everything was literally born, which I think at the time I had no idea. I was doing it merely for just myself in the sense of how I could project after the red or the dye was like done, but in actuality it was the best business decision I ever made, because immediately from right out the gate when you watch that show, you only see red. Like, you see you're able to see who I am immediately because everybody else has a natural color hair.
Sure.
So you immediately are able to pick out the chick that is standing out because there's no
one
else.
You're like, who the fuck is this girl?
Who is this chick? You know? So I had, not only am I a new girl, but then I have the new girl that actually stands out too, because at the time I had black hair and all the other girls had black hair.
Do they make you win or lose your first match? How does that work? So, is it like porn? Do you have to do gay porn before you can do straight porn? Because Dan and I both got into that.
Yeah.
And look, we made a lot of mistakes early
on. You have to
on.
Earn your stripes.
Yes.
And by stripes, I mean
gay dudes.
Sex.
Yeah, gay sex. So how does that work? Do they make you lose?
It doesn't work out that way.
It doesn't?
No. It can work out literally however the writers or the big boss, Vince, feels. So if he really wanted to, I could have walked in on the first day and pinned the Divas champion and got the strap. That's how it works. It works by however creative feels.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it was a little bit interesting because they were trying to work out whether or not they wanted to incorporate Total Divas storyline into wrestling storyline.
Right.
And that was a really hard navigating road to do, because Total Divas is supposed to show like peeling back behind the curtain of the wrestling where no one's ever done before. So you're revealing something that people have an idea. Maybe they've heard, they've seen like bits and pieces. Now you have a reality show really showcasing the women of the WWE roster, navigating through marriage, kids, moving, then training, then also being on the road and kind of juggling that whole entire scenario. And that's where it kind of shifted all the time, because they didn't air at the same time. So it's really difficult to have Monday Night Raw live showing a specific storyline, but it didn't really resonate too much for Total Divas, you know, because obviously Total Divas was filmed and then it drops.
Right.
So it's almost like 3 or 4 months behind.
Yeah, you can't keep up.
So it's too
There's
hard.
No way to, yeah.
It's
post-production,
very difficult. Even though they really tried to. So there was always bits and pieces of a little bit showcasing in Total Divas and then on to Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. But that's where also too, being your own advocate is always the best. And I obviously did not know this, because I'm very much like, I want to be there, work hard, but I also don't want to ruffle feathers too much and just kind of do my job.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's really important, if you really want to do something there, you know, you had talent that is writing out where they see themselves, like in the show, and then they would submit it.
Well, that's true of anything you could ever do in your life in a professional environment. There's probably going to be a number of people who have your exact same resume and experience.
100%.
You have to do something to fucking bring yourself to the top of the pile.
Always.
Whether it's a personal relationship or dyeing your fucking hair red.
Totally.
So did you win?
My first match. Honestly, my first match was wild. It was at SummerSlam and it was like a tag, and it was Maria Menounos was involved in it.
Really?
Yeah.
The girl from Extra?
Yes. Yeah. She's a huge WWE fan.
It would be awesome if you kicked the shit out of Maria Menounos.
I think that we won. Oh my gosh, it's so long ago I can't remember.
How do you not remember your first professional match?
Well, that my first professional match was a 6-man tag, and I had only done my in-ring tryout at the time. Mm-hmm. So I'd only learned how to take a bump, a clothesline, your real raw basics, and they threw me out there, and I literally was like a deer in headlights.
Sure.
Yeah, that's not safe. I mean, really.
Oh, it was so
easy to get injured doing that stuff.
For sure. But it was like a 6-man tag, so it was almost like get tagged in, do maybe like a roll up or something. Very like, looking back, I'm like, oh god damn, so easy. So easy.
Yeah.
But I didn't have like the training or like, you know, obviously the confidence too, because you're going out there, you're performing live. So many elements. I mean, when you walk out for a live audience, I don't care what you're doing, whether it's comedy, whether it's you're a singer, anything, the first time ever, it's a holy shit. They're like,
sure.
Like, oh my god, that's a real person. Mm. Like, that can really touch me if they really wanted to.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
Yeah, well, that's Dan though. He's murdered hundreds of people.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But I also carry treats in case they're nice and I give them treats.
Yeah.
Oh, that's smart too.
He's quick with a treat, quick with a gun and a treat. That's Dan Holloway.
That works.
Yep.
That works.
That's what I'm known for.
And we won. It was like Total Divas versus the other guys. So we won that one. But it was horrifying. But it really actually created my character too. Because the fans were so upset that I was horrific. Like, I wasn't able to perform as well as all the other girls, you know? Because I was just brand new.
What was the feedback? What did they say? Because you say horrific. Mm-hmm. Do you hear it or do you read the message boards and they're like, yo, fuck that girl? Or what was
Oh my god, yeah.
Is it ruthless? Because I know wrestling fans are fucking ruthless.
I love the WWE
universe,
yeah. But they are ruthless. Even though they're ruthless, they are the most loyal fans I've ever witnessed in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, I have them from literally the same people when I first started in 2013, and we're in 2020, and they're still buying my fitness programs that I'm selling or buying my sunglasses. Like, they rock with you hard.
Yeah, it's like NASCAR fans.
Yeah.
Actually probably most of your fans probably came from NASCAR because nobody watches
NASCAR. Not watching NASCAR. It's true. It's true. And I feel like this, it is a God's honest truth statement. I feel like with the WWE in particular, women started becoming huge in the sport, and it helped because there was a lack of men's personalities at the time. Mm-hmm. So when there was a drop off as far as the men in WWE, it was the women who really carried it, where it was just like, you had Ric Flair's daughter, you had the Bellas, you had the Bella Twins, and the Divas and all that shit. I felt like more people were tuning in to see the women as opposed to the men, because their personalities just weren't that interesting. You only had a few guys. I'm not sure what year you were there.
Yeah.
Was The Rock out of there at that point?
He was actually performing on my first day of first WrestleMania he was going against John Cena. But that was his last kind of thing until, he comes back sporadically.
Mm. Sure.
But he wasn't consistently with the company at the time.
And when you were there, did you smell what he was cooking? So now we're even, Dan. I feel like we're even.
He's 15,000 calories a day. When he's doing his bulk cycles, 15 fucking. Can you? That's not cooking. He's paying for that, right?
Nah, it's fine.
Because otherwise, he'd be cooking 20.
I'm sure there's a lot of other things that The Rock is doing. But
can you? What if he and John Cena fought and both of them just said, like, The Rock just kept saying, "Can you smell what I'm cooking?" or whatever, and John Cena's just doing this for the whole match.
And I can't see
No physical contact's ever made because he can't see John Cena. John Cena, as we all know, can't smell.
Yes, and that's what happens. Smell is our strongest scent.
It is. It's the one most closely associated with memory, too.
Yes.
So maybe he did smell something but couldn't recognize who
The
Rock
was.
He couldn't
see it.
He didn't understand he was in a fight, and he was... You know, obviously he doesn't think people can see him.
That'll be the next rematch.
It'd be great. You know?
Mike Tyson's going to fight Roy Jones Jr. now. So what the fuck?
Yeah, they just got announced today. They're in their 50s. That's going to be a disaster.
Yo, he looks so good.
He looks great.
He does.
But if you're getting knocked out in your 50s, that's a fucking disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, somebody's going to the hospital.
That is CTE. That is early onset Parkinson's.
Roy Jones Jr. was a middleweight, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
175?
He just fought in 2018.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago, but he's
he
like
fought until he was like 48 years old. I mean, it's crazy.
175, fucking Mike Tyson is Mike Tyson.
Yeah, Mike Tyson usually comes in around 230, 235. Yeah. Back when he was fighting, I don't know what it is
He's
going
to knock this dude's head completely off of his body unless there's some kind of arrangement.
Stamina. But Roy Jones is always able to run away.
The fact that you just had to say that, unless there's some type of arrangement, that's the world we live in right now. You don't know. So even if he steps in there and say he doesn't win, right?
Mm-hmm.
That all of us probably think that he would. But say he doesn't. How do we know that wasn't
I don't.
Already?
I wouldn't believe those results at all.
Because
I've seen him training. He looks like he's fucking 25 years old.
Right?
Yeah.
His hands are so quick.
Yeah,
I was
so
impressed.
Very, very fast. But we'll see.
Also, if I'm Roy Jones Jr. and somebody's like, hey, don't worry. Mike's in on it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Mike Tyson's in on it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably,
we're going to trust Mike Tyson not to fucking murder me. No.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's in on it. And then he'll step in there and then
bite his goddamn ear off.
Yes.
Exactly. All bets are off and it's go time.
And it's Picasso time.
Wouldn't it be funny if you're Roy Jones Jr., you sign that contract?
Van Gogh?
And then like 3 or 4 days before the fight, Mike starts getting weird, talking about eating your kids and shit again.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, dude.
I'd be the best.
I've got
that
coronavirus.
That was my favorite Mike Tyson.
He just says he's got coronavirus and backs out.
Yes, my favorite Mike Tyson was after prison, eating children and going to Bolivia.
After he found
I'm
going to
fade away into Bolivia.
After he found that thesaurus.
Yeah.
He got wild in those interviews.
It's great.
It is great. The ebbs and flows of Mike Tyson, though.
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing a biopic right now with Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx is playing Mike Tyson.
Jamie Foxx is going to kill it.
Destroy it. He's training now. He already does a great Mike Tyson impression.
He does. I saw his interview that he did actually.
Awesome.
Oh,
yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, and it was years ago. I think it was like in 2013.
Yeah,
something
2015,
weird.
2015,
Something very long ago where it was totally obviously in the works for quite some time. Finally, now it's like actually happening. Mm-hmm. But his impression was.
It's really good.
Yes.
And he's had this whole time to work on it. I feel like if he wins the Oscar for this, just give him the Cecil B. DeMille Award and be done with it. Give him that extra Oscar and let him fucking move on with his life.
Or just let him only play real people forever.
Yeah.
Like at that point.
Not that he's
like,
not a great actor in made up roles.
He's fantastic.
As well. Yeah. But you can't, if he does this as well as he did Ray Charles, he's going to win an Oscar for that. Right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. When you were talking about arrangements earlier, I'm curious about the Divas.
Yeah.
Is there an arrangement that goes down of like, hey, man, we're going to go through this storyline and you guys have got to abide by this script on a week to week basis to make sure X happens? I think that's the question that everybody wants to know with reality TV.
So reality TV is different because that does for sure happen within the company and in like your show, the product for Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, because you obviously are always leading up to something. So whether it's leading up to a pay-per-view or to WrestleMania or something like that, usually your storyline will entail whatever is going down. And then there usually is a reasoning. So hopefully you're rooting for that reasoning, whether it's a title shot or then all of a sudden you do all of this and then you do a good job. You put over your, because everybody always wants to, obviously you have a good guy and a bad guy. You have your heel and your face, but everybody wants to be a good guy, but you need a damn good heel and a bad guy to put you over. So that everyone, that it makes you rise. And that way everyone is just like, yes, like they're everything, you know? That's why John Cena was a good guy or whatever. It's because all the guys that helped him get there. If you don't have a good opponent or a good heel, it's like whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And some people like Steve Austin, he was the heel.
Stone Cold.
He was the heel and the face for his entire career.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Which I enjoyed.
Well,
I mean,
and they always do that too.
Yeah.
You always, like you, there's always shifts, there's always turns, there's always something that is constantly making a change or making the viewer, the fans wanting to see more of, you know? So like even the girls do, I mean, I definitely was never a face. I probably will never be a face. I'm definitely a heel to the core and I'm okay with that.
I like the heels. Like,
yeah, I think heels
Randy Savage is my
heels have more fun.
The best. It's the best.
I could talk a lot of
D-Generation X. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. On, and it's more interaction with the fans.
The NWO. You don't want to be some fucking pussy.
Yeah, not at all.
No, fucking be an environmental terrorist, brother.
Did you ever get the strap?
I did not.
Ooh.
So, you know, I think I have some unfinished business to do back up in the WWE. You never know.
Are you going back?
You know, at the moment, we have a great relationship, so that door is definitely something that could always, you know, I could walk
reopen.
Through.
Yeah,
for sure. I would never turn my back on the WWE universe. They gave me so much, you know. I'm so appreciative to the company in general, because if I did not have that experience, if I did not work for WWE, I wouldn't be sitting here on your couch able to talk to you guys because I wouldn't have, you know, they gave me an opportunity. I was a kid that was just had a dream. Yep. Literally, I might not have had a wrestling dream. My dream was to be a professional soccer player. That did not work out for me.
But a professional athlete. But let's face it, as a wrestler, you are an athlete.
Oh, 100%. And then it turned into, you know, the wanting to act or do something in entertainment. And that's why, like, damn.
Well, speaking of that, you're going to be in a movie here soon, right?
I am. What a nice set. Look at you.
Look at that segue.
Damn segue.
Professionally.
Boom.
Clearly, you guys have been doing this for a bit, huh?
Just a couple minutes.
Little bit. But yes. So, but once again.
It's called Hard Kill. Bruce Willis is a star.
There it is.
It comes out in August. I don't know what
the dubs.
But do you know where it's going to actually be released?
So,
because it's all weird right
now. I know.
Yeah,
so they're going to do it theatrical and then stream. On August 28th. I don't know exactly where it's going to stream right now, but yes, it drops August 28th. And
what's it like working with Bruce Willis? That's got to be dope as shit.
I mean, it's...
And surreal, right?
It is, because I played it really cool because I really wanted to just be like, can you do it? Like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. You know, I really wanted to do it. I did not. I played it cool. Because I didn't want to be that guy, you know, especially because my time with him was limited because he was only there for like 4 days.
Yeah.
And so when I met him, I kept it professional and just, you know what I mean? But it was cool. It's surreal because, I mean, Die Hard, hello. You know, it's...
Dude, Bruce Willis is one of the greatest of all time. Yeah. It's the best Christmas movie of all time. Look, Bruce Willis is Bruce Willis. He's one of those guys that is so iconic that it's like he's just Bruce Willis. I don't really associate him with one movie in particular.
No.
You could go through Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, sure. Everything.
Moonlighting is still one of the greatest, most underrated shows of all time. Yeah. Like
Moonlighting was...
He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was... I feel like he's also one of those guys that's worked in Hollywood for... decades.
Yeah.
And you don't really hear any of this weird shit. You don't hear about him fucking trying to bang underage girls or fucking...
Because he's Bruce Willis.
Like going on drug benders or any of this other bullshit. He's just bald and kind of hangs out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis. And he'll probably shoot you in the face.
For sure.
At some point.
And he's dope.
Yeah.
He was really cool. I definitely... you know how sometimes you hear a lot of times you like meet certain people and they kind of let you down?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely didn't have that experience. He was super kind of like who I would think he was.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which was very cool. So
he seems like a dad that's just kind of over it in every role that he plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's a dad that's probably a retired cop or firefighter. And people around him, he's just like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Exactly. And that, hence why I couldn't. Why I had to keep it cool and not bring up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he'd be like, beat it, kid.
Beat it, nerd.
Yeah, exactly.
Get off your set. Take your video. Totally.
He would treat you
the
same
set.
Way he treated Justin Long in the last Die Hard or the next to last Die Hard movie.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So I kept it together. But that brings me back to WWE because I shout out Vince McMahon. He's the one that allowed me to step away from WWE to do my first film, which you guys can all watch. It's on Netflix now. But my first film...
What's the name of it?
Inconceivable.
Okay.
And it's with Nicolas Cage, Faye Dunaway, Gina Gershon, and Nikki Whelan.
You worked with Cage, too?
Dude, right?
Come on, dude. Yes, how's Nick Cage?
Yo, first of all, I had to play it cool, too.
He's a national treasure.
Everybody he is.
I mean...
A national treasure.
So my first encounter with him is like, oh my God, I've been waiting to see you. My kid loves WWE. He couldn't believe that you were working on this film with me. Can we FaceTime him right now? I'm like,
that's the most surreal thing of all time.
Dial it up.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm literally talking to his son.
Is it Kal Ali? Because he named his kid after Superman, right?
Kal-El.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that it? Is it him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So
I'm sure
like
he
insane.
Goes by Kal, which is
yeah, does he go by Superman? Does he go by Soup? Did you call him Soup?
Yeah.
Or?
Definitely
how's that work?
Didn't.
What's
I don't
up,
even,
Clark?
I believe I didn't even mention his name, so I didn't mess it up. I just said hello.
I fucked it up. I'm not a Superman fan. I'm a Nick Cage fan. I'm not a Superman fan.
Well, Nick Cage is real.
Yeah, Nick Cage is definitely.
So.
Valid point.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was awesome. But I was really kind of like, holy shit, you know, that was like definitely a holy shit moment. But. And I had to dye my hair black for that role. So, you know, Vince really opened up the door for me in every aspect. So that's why I have so much love for WWE, is because
they've launched a lot of careers. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So where would The Rock be, right? I mean,
oh, for sure.
He's obviously a standout example, but that motherfucker, like,
well, look, you have Roman Reigns, his cousin. Yeah. You've got The Rock. You've got John Cena.
Yep.
Obviously, the early guys, Rowdy Piper,
Hogan.
Yeah.
He was doing movies. Hogan was doing movies.
Yep.
Randy Savage. I mean, how much did he make off of Snap Into a Slim Jim?
Not like, enough to buy the cocaine he actually needed.
Well,
but he made a lot of money.
I think he made a lot of money. He was fine.
You don't think he died from not having enough cocaine?
Look, I think everybody dies a little bit inside from not having enough cocaine.
I agree. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it compounds over the years.
Small part of it.
Yeah.
Some would say that he maybe wouldn't have had a heart attack if he would have had coke on him that day. I'm not one of those
don't
people.
I think that's...
Not
that's
sure.
How it works.
How it works.
My father's friend was a doctor, and I think he said coke stops heart attacks.
Did he post anything on Facebook about wearing masks or anything?
No, he never does. Never does. Since you're dishing on celebrities, let's talk about some in the WWE world.
Okay.
I was talking about John Cena at the top. Obviously, you were with the Bellas.
Yes.
They were engaged. One of them was engaged to John.
Yes.
I found that whole situation to be really fucking weird. Like, me and my wife, right? So my wife watches the show.
Okay.
And I found that whole situation to be weird because I felt like, and this could be the reality TV that jaded me and us, that she was a normal, awesome girl who just wanted to have kids, live a normal life, and be happy and not was fine with all of his bullshit that he does, right? And I guess he had a vasectomy or something. That didn't
I don't know.
Allow him to have kids. Is that true?
I'm not sure. I don't think
so. Is Jesse back there?
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
I don't know, though.
I don't know either.
Google.
I don't either. But what was the reasoning for them breaking up? And then it seemed weird on the show when he was waiting for her and they were kind of back together and then they weren't back together or whatever. Like, to me, he seems like a guy who just wants to be a gigantic movie star and do a million fucking things like Ryan Seacrest versus having a family and settling down.
Mm-hmm.
What's he like behind the scenes? Because I've told you the one shitty story already. You have to know all of them, I would imagine.
So the relationship was, I mean, he was super straightforward with Nikki right out the gate. That was one of their major issues, is because he said that he never wanted to, because he was previously married. Mm-hmm. So he never wanted to get married again, and he never wanted to have children.
Right.
So it's one of those things where if a man says that, and this is where, for anything, I feel like when a man really says that to you, and if you really want that in your life.
Yeah, you better believe him.
You better believe him.
Yeah.
Because the biggest mistake, I think, that I probably have made myself in past relationships is thinking that you can change somebody. Like, no one is going to change unless they want to change, unless they are doing either some, like, whatever it is. I mean, I speak on it all the time because I work a 12-step recovery program. Mm-hmm. I have almost 8 years of sobriety. So it's like, that would never have happened unless I wanted to get help and to work on myself and to change. My husband can't change me. And as in that relationship, he was so honest that I think in her mind, she was hoping that she could change him into wanting this
life.
Well, guess what, folks? It never works.
Not going to happen.
In human history has that worked. Because even if you do drag that person into your bullshit, they're going to have a kid and resent you and the kid forever.
100%.
Yeah. Fuck that.
So that makes sense, and I'm behind it. Because I recently saw she's... either engaged or married and just had a child?
I think that she's about to pop.
Okay. Yeah, because it looked close. Like, she looked like...
Her and her sister, they're
twins, and they're both pregnant at the same time.
Yeah. See, I couldn't date a twin. I don't trust people enough for that.
No.
I feel like they would be running some game on me, which brings up this other thing that we've talked about before, which is Siamese twins. So it's Siamese, a male Siamese twin, conjoined twin. One of them's gay, the other one's not, but they share one asshole.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
Is that real?
No, I made it up.
No, but what happens in that situation? Are you cool with that or not?
Like, I mean, you have to, there's some serious negotiation going on.
Yeah. That is so wild. I mean.
Yeah.
This is why we brought you here to figure this whole situation out.
We were trying to figure this out. Two male Siamese twins.
Yep.
Conjoined, but they share one asshole. One's male, one's straight.
The one that's gay is a bottom, and they share one asshole.
Power bottom.
Like, yeah. So it's like, what do you do in that situation?
What do you do in that sitch?
Call the United Nations, I guess.
What do you do in that situation? I do not know.
If you can't answer it, no one can.
Yeah,
I have no idea. Like.
That would be a very tough situation.
At least once for sure, we have to do something like this to make sure things aren't going too well.
Yeah.
And we just like slam on the brakes and say something super fucked up. Right?
We have to. Yeah. Before we get into other fucked up shit, let's talk about Ronda Rousey.
Okay. I like it.
She was live on Instagram with Dana White last night. Did you see that?
Well,
she was.
Yeah,
they used to bone, so you know it's not really surprising that they were live on
Brendan
Instagram.
Brendan boned and everybody else over there.
Yeah, well,
which is fine. That's not shaming.
All of that's fine. But they
have no idea.
They have a close relationship.
Yeah.
What was the reaction when she joined? Because I had heard on the inside that people were pissed off that she got some mega million deal.
Yeah.
Never done anything except for obviously MMA, but that's real fighting.
Right.
What was it like on the inside for you guys? Were you guys jealous or pissed? And then when she came in, was she cool or was she not?
Your guess is as good as mine in the sense of I've only heard things because at that time I was already out of the locker room. And so I was already doing like TV, film, and my other projects. So I wasn't, not only was I not on Total Divas anymore, but I wasn't even traveling or within the company at that time.
Okay.
So mine is the same as you, like a lot of hearsay. Mm. So I'm going to refer it to probably a little similar to me stepping into WWE, just like some kid off the street, where you're going to have some salty dogs. Because you have guys there that have been busting their ass for years, hoping for a top storyline, because not everybody gets one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And hoping for a title shot or hoping for a WrestleMania moment, because that is the whole goal and that is what you're working for. Because, I mean, major leagues, everyone is trying to get into the World Series.
Sure.
Not everybody makes it. And then once you're in the World Series, you want to be the guy. You want to be the main one. You want to hit the jack. You want to hit that. You know what I mean? You want to win the game. And I'm sure that when she steps in, because obviously she's bringing a lot in the sense of, she is Ronda Rousey from UFC, so people already know
her. Name.
Big name.
Big name.
Exactly. And gets put into a storyline immediately. So without a shadow of a doubt, it would be a little bit odd if people weren't going to be salty about it.
Yeah, but you also couldn't bring Ronda Rousey in and not immediately throw her into a storyline.
Totally.
Yeah. It doesn't make any fucking sense to do that. So
no, and she's
it
huge.
It just is what it is.
It is what it is. And it's business. At the end of the day,
it's business.
Yeah. It's business, baby.
She did not last long. Did she not like the lifestyle and the road?
That totally
Ronda Rousey doesn't want to be on the road 300 days a year, dude.
But how do you not know the gig? Like, we're not in wrestling. We know that gig.
Well, we've
watched the documentaries and shit.
But I think that a lot of people think, it's just like with anything. It's like you think that you know, and you think like you're at home, you're on your couch, you're doing this podcast, and you're like, I could do that.
Right.
I could totally do that. What? They travel, they go to hotels, they drive into a different city, but they get to perform whatever. I can for sure do that. But then when you're really in the mud, when you're really in the heart of it all, and when it's 2 a.m. and you still haven't made your hotel yet, you still got to get up at like 7 a.m. because we do a lot of stuff within the communities that we're at in those specific cities, then you're like, oh, hell no. I want to be back home on her ranch, chilling with her dude.
Yeah.
So I think I'm sure that probably played into it as well. Like, didn't realize. And for all we know, maybe her contract was only a year. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, because she went on Steve-O's podcast, ironically, and said, fuck this, fuck that whole world.
Oh, wow.
I didn't enjoy it. The girls were fucking bitches and all this other shit. And she went scorched earth. But I didn't know if that was part of the character. And, like, she was coming back.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have no idea.
You never know.
Because you live in that world and you're like, all right, is this part of the storyline?
For sure.
I don't know what's real and what's not anymore.
Totally. And especially now because you have no idea, are you playing into your like heel character or what?
Right.
But I'm sure there was like a little bit of both. You know, I'm sure that people were probably a little bit salty, or the locker room was probably a little bit salty. But then within that time that she was there, if like she wasn't as inviting or as... Not saying that she even had to be, but that's going to leave a sour taste in your fellow locker room ladies.
Well, you don't have to be, but...
No, but at the end of the day, you should, because...
You can be the architect of your own fucking chaos like that.
Totally.
Yeah.
And in the wrestling world, unless you have some crazy beef that is just like unexplainable or something... at the end of the day, you're putting your life in somebody else's hand when you step into that ring. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, whether it's a suplex, whether it's a clothesline, whether you're getting thrown out of the ring, all these things that are happening, I'm putting my trust into you that you're going to be able to perform and carry me through the best of your ability so that I do not get injured. Because obviously it's a dance.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to work with the other person. And I know that is difficult because like you mentioned, we are on the road 209 days out of the year, so you become kind of like sisters. So a lot of times, you know how I am with my brothers, you're gonna butt heads with a lot of nonsense that's going on. But if you're able to, and you should be professional enough, once you step in there, you're able to handle business, because that's why you're there. You're doing something that you absolutely love, that millions of people would die to be in that position. And I think,
absolutely, yeah.
I think that's what, like, also the younger generation, they don't have that, like, they think that they are, should be given this or given that, and everyone should clap. It's like, no, that's not how it works. When you do, it's like having that constant knowing that you can lose it tomorrow. Nothing is guaranteed. So when you get out there, you know, not only obviously be appreciative, but bust your ass.
Yeah,
be there, because the door was open and it didn't open for JoJo down the way.
It's like being a professional athlete in any other sport. And it's like you were saying earlier, like, everybody's replaceable.
Sure.
You can get injured, you can get all fucked up.
Better take advantage of every goddamn day. Totally. You got
exactly. Who is your favorite old school star that inspired you? Like, growing up, who were you watching that was one of your favorites?
I mean, obviously,
mine was Savage. I gravitated towards Savage and Ric Flair. Like, those were my two guys. I feel like everybody's got their dudes.
I mean, I think for sure, I feel like Hulk Hogan was a staple in the house, because it's just, I mean, if you don't know who Hulk Hogan is, I feel like you're living under a rock.
Exactly.
And they're making actually a movie about him.
Chris Hemsworth. Yep.
Yeah.
So I feel like he was definitely a staple, but Snap Into a Slim Jim, that was like, I would repeat that because I would see that commercial all the time and I would try to do it. So I feel like those guys, but then of course, like Ric Flair and stuff, when I really got comfortable in being my character, because like the first year was honestly the hardest for me, because it was really hard for me to separate like me being who I am as a person and then my character. So like my character is a biatch, like she is just out of control.
Sure.
But with social media, you're able to leave comments and all these things, and so people were like, oh my god, we hate you, or whatever, you know. And understanding, like, okay, they're talking about the character that they are seeing on television, this is not who I really am as a person, was definitely a weird navigation that I had to deal with. But after I was able to like realize and understand that after the first year and really kind of become this Eva Marie character, that's when things got I was able to enjoy it a lot more, and that's where I like would pull like Ric Flair kind of vibes into my character, because I would have like the big crazy robe and everything like that.
Did you ever get a chance to talk to him, because his daughter's in it, and did you ever sit down and say, hey, give me some of the tricks of the trade here? Like, what did you do that I could add to my game?
You know what? I obviously got to meet him a lot and have conversations, but never once like sat down and said like, yo, school me real quick, you know?
You should have.
I know. I just didn't have that kind of time nor chance.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, and he's still around.
Is he still around? Yeah. I just saw him a couple weeks ago doing some gigs.
So he's still doing his thing within the company too. And then obviously his daughter, stud.
Yeah.
Charlotte.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
My God. Savage.
She's fucking leading that shit right now.
Totally.
So, and it's great. And again, I thing, man. I feel like the women, like, dude, people go and watch her
for
as the main attraction, like, over anyone else. I know that sounds weird, but that's what it feels like right
but
now.
But I really think too, like, what WWE did too, they capitalized. It was like right time, right place, everything. So at the time of the switch that happened, right, with this whole like movement of women empowerment and all this stuff, right, Total Divas was airing as well. Mm-hmm. And then also you had these girls that can show out like studs.
Like very higher level athletic performance.
Just, yeah.
Crazy stuff. Yeah.
Crazy. Like, yeah. And had been in the wrestling game for quite some time from the independents, and then able to, you know, obviously, you know, got the opportunity to come up, then got up on the main roster, and they were able to just like perform like dudes.
Yeah.
And it was a time still, that people were wanting more of to see the women anyways, mm-hmm. you know, not just these like minute, 30 second roll up matches and then it would be on to the next.
Well, I mean, it started to pass the Bechdel test for a lot of people that don't know. This is like a thing in film where the test says, are there two women on screen at the same time with their own agency that aren't just there to be a proxy for some dude or talking about some dude basically, right? Because back in the day, the late 90s, when they first started introducing women more and more heavily into the WWE, they were basically people's wives and girlfriends
right.
that were just hanging out.
Right. Managers
they were like part of
stuff,
the periphery.
Yeah.
They were managers and
totally.
Shit like that. Now they're actually athletes.
Yeah.
Right? So the whole fucking paradigm has shifted. I think that's
for
why
sure.
what you're describing with them taking more of a front seat, that's probably why, right?
Yeah.
Because they're actually engaged in the fucking competition now.
Yeah.
And I think their personalities are more interesting. In wrestling, to me, WWE, like, I always gravitated towards the personalities.
Totally.
I do it in all of sports. Like, my favorite athletes
too.
Of all time are, like, Ricky Henderson and Deion Sanders.
God.
And I love the guys with huge personalities.
People who will say that, who will speak about themselves in the third person.
Yeah. I love it because Ross Patterson loves that.
Yeah.
Ross Patterson loves... when he speaks about when other people speak about themselves in the third person. So, but that's just something Ross Patterson likes to do. And Ross Patterson doesn't really give a shit whether you like it or not, because that's what Ross Patterson likes.
I shouldn't have even brought that up.
Right.
But this has been one of the most fascinating shows of all time. This is the point in the show where we get to the drinking bro of the week,
okay.
which is someone who has helped shape you to become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
Ooh. As much as I would say my husband, he's with me every day, day in and day
him.
Out.
yeah, fuck that guy. Come on.
Yeah. and he's in the kitchen anyway. So I have to say my parents.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, talk about two people came from nothing, worked their ass off to provide and have a better life for myself and my brothers, and to this day are still doing it. You know, my mom was born in Mexico. She's a... hard-working, just amazing, amazing woman. And my parents are honestly my heroes for sure.
That's awesome. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media and
yes.
And all your projects.
You guys, find me, Natalie Eva Marie, on all social media platforms. That's where you have NatalieEvaMarie.com. All my fitness programs, workout of the day. My movie's coming out August 28th, Hard Kill. And I have a sunglass company as well.
Is that, are those them?
Yes, they
Hold
are.
Hold them up to camera. Those are dope.
Thank you. Thank you.
What do those retail for?
Anywhere from 65 into 90.
What up,
girl? So
those girl?
Are the price range. Yes.
Big and it fan.
All started because I was wearing shades all the time in airports because obviously traveling.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to wear my own brand.
Yeah.
Let me get on this real quick.
Goddamn
so,
right.
Hence why I married someone smart, because he was able to make that happen.
And have your own sunglass company.
Exactly.
There it is.
Exactly.
That's fucking awesome. Dan Thanks. Wants his own gun one day. If you dream high enough, you can achieve it, you know?
I don't.
That's
I don't yeah. I don't want to be responsible for all that. I just like to shoot him. That's enough for me.
Well, look, please come back to the show.
Yes.
You are endlessly entertaining.
Thank
and
you.
We're grateful for you being here today. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.